As we begin our lesson this morning, I have to tell you that I am a sinner, and so are you. And sin destroys and sends one's eternal soul to hell. Nothing changes that, for as we've said before, we've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. Therefore, we need a Savior. And when we look for salvation, I want to talk about the God who saves. We live in a terrible world where everybody thinks about the God who destroys and kills and sends people to hell. And nothing could be further from the truth. The only people going to hell are those who volunteer to go to hell. Those who refuse to accept the way of salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish, but shall have eternal life. The gift is there, the offer is there. If we don't receive it, it's not God's fault, it's our fault for failing to accept what He wants to give to us. I hope you read along with the psalm just a moment ago. Verse 5 is the one that stands out to me. For David is saying in this psalm, "Lead me in your truth, teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you will I wait all the day." There are a lot of people believe other things about God. There are people who believe in other gods throughout this world. There are people who call on names that are not Jehovah's name. But I will tell you, there's only one empty tomb, and that's the God who saves through His Son, Jesus. There are tombs to every other religious leader that came, that walked upon the earth. There are statues of those who never did, but people who have conceived of them. But Jesus, who was the Christ, came to the earth, and He walked on the earth, and He lived as a human being, and He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin, and that makes Him the perfect sacrifice. For you are the God of my salvation, and that's where it starts. He's the God of creation, He's the God of a lot of things, but He is the God, the only God of salvation. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." If you follow throughout this psalm, David does a great job of sparking thought. In Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, he says, "Show me your way, O Lord. Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you will I wait all day. Teach me your paths." That's a challenge to this generation, isn't it? For how many of the people who walk on the earth today, how many of those who are assembled this morning want to follow our own path? We want to use human wisdom rather than divine instruction. David, the sweet singer of Israel, came and he said, "Teach me your paths, lead me in your truth and teach." I had a lady say one time when we were talking about right and wrong, she said, "Well, that's your truth, that's not my truth." Folks, God's truth is truth, period. You can argue with me and I can be wrong, but God will be found true and yes, every man a lie when it comes to that contest. But perhaps before we begin this lesson, it's important to ask the question, is God the Lord of your salvation? For the question presumes a couple of things. Number one, it presumes that you know who God is. Number two, it depends on whether you know whether you're saved or not. Whether or not you have salvation. And I realize sometimes we talk in church speak or Bible speak and the world doesn't know what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is your sins will cost you your existence in an eternity in a place called hell. That's what you're saved from. You're saved from the consequences of sinful behavior in this life. But you have to know that you're lost in order to find Jesus who will save you. But too many people want to do it on our terms. We don't want to follow God's way. But there's something that I must tell you that is a truth that you need to know. Man's way doesn't work. And if you'll look around, you can probably notice it doesn't work. Have we solved all the problems of war in this world? Have we solved all the economic problems? Have we solved all the family problems? Go down the list. What has man, following his way, been able to accomplish with a great deal of success and continued success? And when it comes to religion, man begins to mold his own concept of what he wants God to be rather than have God mold us into what he wants us to be. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 said, "There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." He's not just talking about physical death there. He's talking about eternal death. He's talking about the second death. He's talking about the lake that burns with fire and brimstones, which is the second death. There's a way that seems right. Don't worry. Be happy. Take care of yourself. I'm number one. And you'll lose your soul. If you do not enthrone God as the Savior through His Son, Jesus Christ, there's no hope. Well, I don't need an old-fashioned prophet. I don't need an old rabbi. Yes, you do. There is no other way. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. He said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man who walks to direct his own steps. If we were to be honest, and I'm not going to make you raise your hand, and you just know the answer when I ask the question. How many of you have gotten in trouble by following your own steps? How many of you have made mistakes that you really knew better than? You don't have to raise your hands. I can see on your faces which one of y'all have been down that path. But it doesn't matter if I can see it or not. What matters is the God of heaven sees and He knows your heart. And what He's saying is simply, it's not in man to direct his steps. We mess up, people. We need a higher power and a higher authority. We need a Savior. And God sent Him to the earth. No, man's way doesn't work when left to his own devices. The book of Judges talks about a time when every man became a law unto himself. Just think of the consequences of that. If there is no right and wrong except what I say. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 12 and verse 14. For there we look at not the way of man, but the way of God. And the Holy Scripture records these words. When it said, when they had come, they said to him, that is Jesus, Teacher, we know that you are true and that you care about no one. Don't get upset about that. He's saying you're not influenced by anyone. For you do not regard the person of men, but you teach the way of God in truth. You don't preach to itching ears. You don't preach what people want to hear. You teach the truth regardless of who's there, regardless of who the audience is. The way of God is different from the way of man. See, the way of man, there's a way that seems right to himself, but the end's destruction. But these people understand that God spoke through His Son. And He said, I don't care who you are, here's the truth. I'm not trying to impress you, I'm trying to save you. What we need to understand is that when we come to Jesus, we ought to be able to say, you know the way. Because that's what He just told the disciples, you know the way. John chapter 14. You remember how it starts? Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, surely I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 4, He says, and where I go and the way you no. It's not that you're ignorant about the way. He'd been with these disciples for 3 years. They knew the way. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Thomas, bless your heart. Have you not been listening? And to the church of the living God, I ask the question, are we not listening? There is a way that leads to heaven. It's a narrow way. And few there be that find it, but there's a way. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. How can you not know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. No other way. I was mapping out a trip the other day and using a computer program to show me. And it showed me three different ways. There are not three different ways to heaven. There's one. You can't go this way and turn this way and take the scenic route. You need the direct route, and that's through Jesus. Because if you get on some of those side roads, you're going to get lost. And you're going to go away from the Father instead of towards Him. How can we know the way? The answer is you know Jesus. Because He's the way. He's the way to salvation. He's the way you'll save yourself. And there is no other way. None. There's one gospel. There's one truth. There's one faith. In Psalm 25, David talks about the God of my salvation. Psalm 18:46, he said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. And so in our text, we ask again, is God the God of your salvation? Is Jehovah the God of your salvation? And if not, why not? His way is plain. He's given us His word that shows us all things that pertain to godliness, to life now and life to come. The book of Acts, chapter 4, Peter's talking. He's trying to explain who Jesus is. He says, this is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible is plain. No other name, no other way. Jesus said, I am the way. There's not a name given among men whereby you may be saved except one that says Jesus. People, I love Jesus, who is the Christ. He is my Savior. He is the hope of my salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and I love Him. I want you to love Him if you don't. Because if you don't love Him, you're not going to be saved. Because His way is not the way of the world. The way of the world is dictated by Satan, who is the prince of this earth. Back in the Old Testament book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16 and verse 34, we're told to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercies endure forever, and say, save us, O God of our salvation. Man's way doesn't work, but God's will every time. We'll submit to His will. It's interesting as you read David in Psalm 25, verse 7, he says, do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercies, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. That's really one of the best blessings you could have. How many of us, not even as youth, but even as adults too, are guilty of sin that we don't want God to remember? Have you ever had somebody you love, a parent, a grandparent, a child, that you didn't want to think badly of you? That you didn't ever want to hurt, but sometimes you hurt them and you just go and you pray, God, please let them forget. Please let them forget that I did this and I messed up here and I hurt them and I lied to them. Don't let them hold it forever over me. And have you ever been the recipient of someone who did hold it forever? Who never gives a second chance? And so when we begin to look at Scripture, the Psalm said, remember not the sins of my youth. Hebrews 8 and verse 12 gives a great promise to Christians. For when you've had your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 8 and 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. As human beings, memory is a problem for us. It really is. Have you ever been guilty of saying, well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it? And I think sometimes the human mind has a hard time forgetting, but God said, I will remember them no more. So on the day of judgment, when you get there as a Christian, washed in the blood, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved in by the God of our salvation, and you say, oh God, I'm so sorry, you remember that time? And He will say, no, I don't know what you're talking about, because I remember them no more. I don't remember those sins, because they were washed away. In Hebrews 10, verse 16, the writer says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. This is a great promise. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. What a God says I won't remember anymore. How many of you are beating yourself up about past sins in your life? You've gone to God, you've asked Him to forgive you, you've been washed, you've obeyed the gospel, you've become a Christian, you've given your life to Him, but those sins haunt you. I want you to hear me well. They are not in the mind and remembrance of God. They're gone. It's as if they had never happened. Now, you and I may have a hard time with that, but God does not have a hard time. Revelation 1 and verse 5 and 6 says, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Wash the sins away. The other day, my wife was doing the laundry, and I'd got a spot of something on her shirt. And she said, why didn't you tell me about this? Quite frankly, I didn't know I had the spot. I didn't know it was there. She said, if you had told me in time, I could have treated it with whatever you treat it with, and I could have got the spot out, and it wouldn't be there. But now this shirt's always, it's ruined. We'll never be able to use this. The stain is there. God said the stain of sin doesn't have to be there. It can be washed. It can be taken away. But it takes a certain kind of detergent, if you will, and it's called the blood of Jesus. And if you don't believe in His Jesus, you'll never come to His saving power. You see, He is the God who saves us. through His Son, Jesus. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that we should all come to repentance." He doesn't want us lost. He's not waiting to condemn people to hell. He's not waiting for a great day where He's going to pull a trap door and everybody goes into the bowels of hell. That's not the God of our salvation. You see, He's not willing that any should perish. God brings sinners to repentance. That's us changing. In Matthew chapter 9, He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Somebody says, "Well, does that mean that God doesn't care about people who are doing right?" Of course not. We're all sinners. What it means is He knew who we are and what we did, and He came to save us. But I want you to notice something about the salvation from the Lord. He calls us. He makes it available. He will never force it on you. We have a God who saves, but He leaves it up to us whether or not we want to accept His salvation. We're not robots. We are made in His image and in the likeness of God. And so this morning I want to ask you, is He the God of your salvation? Have you come to Him and faced Him and acknowledged that He is God? I know that we have problems. I know that we have sins. I know that we're human. God did too. All of that has nothing to do with it. The great promise is that God wants to save. He's not willing that any should perish. Man's way doesn't lead to salvation. Only God's way leads to salvation. Only He can save. You're not going to save yourself. There's not going to be a preacher who saves you somewhere. And I like preachers. It's not going to be your grandmother. It's not going to be anybody. It's going to be the blood of Jesus Christ alone that saves you. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father, what? But by Me." Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Today, if He's not the God of your salvation, won't you make Him? Won't you come to Him believing, confessing His name, repenting of sins, confessing His name before men that you might be confessed before the heavenly host, being born again of the water and the Spirit, baptized into Jesus Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, having your sins washed away and remembered no more, and be faithful that heaven can be your home? And if you've fallen out of the relationship with God that's one that saves, why not come back home? He's waiting. And maybe that's the reason the earth still stands, is for you to have the opportunity to come back to Him. I want you to have God as your Savior. That's what He came for. If we can help you anyway this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?